Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hello and welcome back to another Co-Opticast. This is Co-Opticast episode 75 for Sunday, October the 9th, 2011. I'm Nick. I'm joined by Mike over on the left coast.
Yes. How you doing? I'm doing pretty good.
That's good to hear. I'm doing pretty well too. I actually had a weekend where we didn't have much going on, so I got to relax a little bit. So.
Well, I had a pretty busy weekend, but I'm coming off the first week at my new job, which is going really well, so I'm a little more relaxed than I have been the past few weeks.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So let's jump right into the What You've Been Playing segment and talk about all the games we've been playing, because, man, there's a lot of them out there, isn't there?
There certainly are, and I finally picked up Gears 3, and I've been playing the crap out of that, and for the first time, I actually waded into the competitive multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not as brutal as I figured it would be.
Yeah.
Like it there's still a lot of, you know, getting, you know, shanked from behind by a guy you didn't see, but the third person view allows for a lot more spatial awareness, I feel. And in a game where, you know, you're spending half the time ducked behind cover, it helps a bit.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I tried Gears, you know, all the Gears games in competitive multi, and I played also Space Marine recently in the competitive stuff, and I don't know. I don't like third person competitive games for some reason.
Yeah.
It feels too slow to me, I think.
Yeah, that's true, but since I'm playing it with a controller rather than a mouse and keyboard,
yeah.
I feel that that's not really a complaint on my end, because, you know, if I'm playing a competitive shooter on the PC, you know, that's where I want to do that.
Like, yeah.
Generally, like deathmatch, I like deathmatch focused games, so like Quake Live or like Unreal Tournament, something like that's really really high on my list. But Gears 3 is really, really dang good, and I've been enjoying the campaign a lot. I'm enjoying how much variety there is in it. There's a lot of really random stuff that I did not expect to happen.
It is a very, very polished experience. I mean, it should have been, because remember it was originally supposed to be out in April, and they delayed it. And they delayed it only for, you know, marketing reasons, basically. I mean, they admitted that it was done, but they wanted to wait until the fall season. So they had a lot of time, I think, to really tweak things and balance things and everything else.
Yeah, and I feel like hardcore mode is actually easier this time around, maybe because the AI will revive you now.
Yeah, you know, I had originally started on normal, because last time hardcore was a little frustrating, but I bumped
definitely.
It up about a couple. I think after the first chapter or first act, I bumped it up to hardcore because I thought it was too easy on normal.
Yeah, I've actually heard a lot of people say that it was a little easy on normal, but you know, Gears is not. The first two weren't actually very easy games. They were pretty stiff challenge, even on normal.
Yeah.
Although I foolishly decided my campaign runs on both would be hardcore. I don't know if you remember when we were playing Gears 2, I was stuck on a boss.
Yeah, I can
because,
remember your issue there.
Well, I had to bring someone in. I brought you in to play co-op with me because the boss got in a chainsaw duel with you, and for some reason, on hardcore mode, they made it so that you had to have, like, the, you know, the 15 presses a second thumb skills to win that chainsaw duel, and I just could not do it. It's like, I can shoot everything and get here perfectly, but I can't whack the B button fast enough for the game, so someone come and be my ringer in co-op. but I also picked up Orcs Must Die, which is just a hell of a lot of fun. It's goofy. It's got kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like a tower defense meets third-person action RPG. It's a little bit of a hybrid. In those types of games, I always get kind of a vibe from Dungeon Keeper.
I was just going to say, that's kind of the vibe I get from the game, is a little bit of Dungeon Keeper with setting Even some of the traps are almost from Dungeon Keeper.
Yeah, you know, with like the spike walls and stuff. But I think my favorite thing about it is that you play as this just idiot character, and the opening of the game is basically this wizard talking about how he's killed, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of orcs over his career, and he screws up, he slips on some orc blood, and, you know, cracks his head against some stairs and lays there dying, and is regretting that the world is now supposed to be defended by his absolute idiot of an apprentice. It sets up just the whole tone of the game, and it's really funny.
Yeah, there's some good dialogue. Like, the one mission starts, and the guy's like, you know, they're always breaking through the doors. Maybe we should do something about that.
Yeah. So that's really fun, and I have also been playing Dungeons of Dreadmoor on the PC, which is a roguelike, randomly generated dungeons game, and it's very... It's kind of in the same vein. It's very funny. It's full of humor, and you know the enemies are just flat out ridiculous, and they taunt you. You know, it's a pretty indie game. So it looks really nice. You can tell like they just threw every in joke that they wanted to at it. So like the enemies will taunt you from afar. So you'll see like a little like quote above their heads, and some of them will say stuff like, "Your degree in dungeoneering means nothing to me."
Yeah.
It's silly. There's a lot of fun in there, and it's, you know, permadeath. Everything's randomly generated, so you can go. My first game, I opened what's referred to as a monster zoo. The first door I opened, and I was level one, and I didn't have any equipment yet, and I got like 100 enemies thrown at me, which was, you know, obviously instant death, so I have like a score of 90 for that game. And then my second game, I got a few floors into the dungeon, beat a few bosses, and, you know, I was like 15,000 on that game. So it was, I felt like I vindicated myself a bit, but it's really fun, and I think it's only $5. So if
cool,
you want a nice little time waster, it's a good one to check out. And I've also been playing a little bit of Rift, the MMO, it was on Steam. It was one of those 75% off Steam sales. I'm like, you know what? It has a free month, and I'm paying basically $5 for this game I was curious about.
Yeah.
So I checked it out. It's it leaves a bad impression for about the first half hour, and then it got really good.
Yeah, I had played, I think, maybe 8 hours of it before I stopped. It was okay.
Well, it's like, it's just kind of your bog standard MMO, but then like the world events start happening, and it's kind of, you know, emergent co-op events happen, and those were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I found myself, I'll play a bit and then just kind of tap my foot waiting for one of the events to start, and then have fun for like an hour and a half, and then have to wait another while before the next one. So, you know, I think Talia played that game a whole bunch, but it's, you know, it's certainly worth checking out. It's, you know, if it goes on Steam sale again, there are a lot more co-op opportunities in that than most MMOs that force you to like look for groups and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's just about it. So
have you played any of the Battlefield beta?
I installed it, and I haven't fired it up yet.
Yeah, so I that's one of the things I just added to our list that I've been playing, because I finally got to play today, because for almost the entire beta, except for maybe the first couple days, there's been a bug where I could not log in because my password was too complicated.
Yeah.
It would take me to the battle log site, and it would say, like, "Sorry, your password contains characters that we consider blah, blah, blah. you know, please consider changing it or check back later." I'm like, okay. So,
amazing.
But last night, I finally got in, and I got to play the Caspian border map, and oh my god, is it amazing. It's just, I mean, all-out warfare, jets flying everywhere, helicopters, tanks. You know, it's 64 players. It's like, okay, yeah, this is Battlefield.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check it out.
Because the Operation Metro map that they've been showing off for however long is just kind of... It's pretty standard fanfare. There's, like, one vehicle. You know, a different kind of a game mode. It's not the Conquest, which is a Battlefield staple mode.
there are other modes besides Conquest and Battlefield?
Well, yeah. Well, the beta map is called Rush, and in that you have things to bomb to move forward.
Interesting.
So there's attackers and defenders, but the Caspian border is your typical Conquest. You know,
well, that is more of a crack. That Conquest is basically all I want to play in Battlefield.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Anything else would be nice.
But the thing is, like, if you played Bad Company,
yeah, I did.
The whatever Gold Rush mode, and that was a lot of fun, and that's kind of what the Rush mode is based on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the map that they were showing it off of, and the one that's on the consoles is just, it's very average. That being said, so yeah, I finally played a little bit of that. Gears 3, I wrapped that up. Been playing a little bit of the Horde mode in that. Still haven't tried Beast mode. Gotta get into that. I wrapped up Dead Island today, finally.
Oh, good.
So that's one more checked off the list. I wrapped up Rage. I did a review of that, and that was pretty disappointing. I played it on the 360. You know, technology-wise, it's pretty amazing. I mean, silky smooth, 60 frames per second, no hiccups. You know, pretty decent textures, decent character models, you know, all around. That's impressive. But the pacing of the game, it just tries to do too much, I think. So it's just, I don't know. It's like the driving stuff is like very out of place. Not like there's like races and stuff you can do, and there's actually times you have to actually do these races, and it's just like, I don't know. I had no desire to do it. Driving from place to place in the buggy was enough for me, but
yeah, I love it, and I really don't want to be disappointed by them. And so
yeah,
I want to play Rage, but everything I've heard about it is making me not want to taint my love for them in my mind.
Yeah, that's the thing too, because I really thought, I was like, okay, you know, this is really going to be the return to its glory. It looks like they're going to nail this, and it's just I don't know.
Maybe they should just do another Quake 3. I know Quake Live's out there, but
yeah,
just give them a multiplayer deathmatch game and
yeah,
just make them polish the crap out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I also been playing Orcs Must Die a little bit, and then I started. We got a bunch of games in last week for review, and I decided that I'll do Ace Combat Assault Horizon, which kind of. We only found out last week that the game even is going to have co-op. They refused to confirm it.
Of course.
But it's freaking awesome. Like, I didn't get to play the co-op yet because nobody has it. But the single player, like, it's blown me away. It's absolutely, it's like, it's out Tom Clancy-ing Tom Clancy games, basically.
You gotta
like
be kidding
me. I swear to God. Like, it's the music, the story, you start out, like, right away it drops you into, like, a flashback of the main character and you're dogfighting over Miami. They nailed the dogfighting mechanic for making it fun. Like,
uh-huh.
What was the Tom Clancy...
Hawks.
Yeah, okay. So you remember how Hawks had that thing you had to, like, go in, like, a zone to, like...
Yeah, yeah, like, the little... Basically, line up the rings and then keep flying through them.
So they had their own version of it, but it nails the fun factor of it. So what you do is you basically got to stay on a guy for a little bit, and a circle will pop up, and you tap the bumper buttons, and then you go into dogfight mode. And what that does is it basically turns into like an on-rails kind of a thing where you follow the guy, but you still have to... You have to keep him in your sights long enough to lock on to fire missiles or fire your guns and stuff, and he can break out of it, too. Like, there's special maneuvers that you can do, like, when someone's on you to break out of it.
Right.
So, like, it happens a lot real fast, and it's very, like... I was talking to Andrew about it. It's like Michael Bay decided to, like, make action sequences in a game, because it's real over the top and stuff, but it's so much fun. And, like, when you pull off some of these maneuvers, like... When the guys lock onto you and there's a time you have to basically tap buttons to break out of the maneuver, you can do like a barrel roll and the guy will fly by you and then you can lock onto him, immediately fire your missiles and blow him up, and it's just so satisfying. So that
crazy
was
crazy because the last Ace Combat game I played was on the PS2 and it was just kind of.
So I played the last one on the 360, and it was just very dull. The story was really weird. There was these giant flying fortresses, and, like, It just, it made no sense. But this one's a little more grounded. And then the other big surprise is you're not all jets. The second mission of the game, you're actually using a gun on the side of a helicopter. Basically, like the 50 Cent mission at the side of the helicopter. Yeah,
so the opening of Graw.
Yeah, so there's that. There's a big mission in that that's a lot of fun. Then the next one, you're actually piloting a helicopter. And you're doing a lot of support for ground troops, and you can see these ground troops going around and breaking into buildings and guys coming and stuff. Then there's a DC-130 mission, like the ones from Modern Warfare, where you're up in the sky and you're covering guys on the ground and stuff. Like, it's just a lot of variety. It's just good. I'm blown away. Totally blown away. I didn't want to like, I was like, okay, I'll play it, whatever. And yeah. I ended up playing it for like 3 hours the other day, and I was like, what the hell happened? This is good.
I always love when I get really surprised by a game. I'm trying to think the last one. It might have been 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we got it and we're just kind of like, hey, this will just be silly.
Yeah.
And we played it and we're like, wow, this is actually really fun, and I almost feel bad for making fun of it.
Yeah.
And then we realized that it's basically meant to be made fun of.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't take itself seriously. So I'm curious. Hopefully the co-op's pretty decent in this. Mm-hmm. Basically, it looks like you can take maps from the campaign and create missions based on those online for three players. I tried a little bit to find people. I know it's out in Japan. I thought I might have been able to hook up with some people there, but I might have to wait for a launch. And then what else? And then finally, FIFA 12. I've been playing that a bit. And after a 10-game losing streak, I finally have won 2 games in a row.
So. Oh, good, because I remember seeing you post something about how you hadn't won anything in a while.
Yeah, no,
or
I didn't.
Yet.
Yet, yeah, no, it was yet.
So it was like NHL 11 all over again.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I don't know what it is. I just having a hard time getting a groove, and the computer always seems to come back on me and stuff. But it's got a really awesome player collision model.
Cool. You know what the last FIFA game I played was?
98.
You would be correct. It was on the N64.
Nice.
Is 97, was 98 the one that was World Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the last one I played. It's been a while. And before that, the only soccer game I'd played was Nintendo World Cup on the NES.
All right, so as you can see, we've all been playing a lot of games and that ate up a lot of time, so let's jump right into our news. And let's talk about Space Marine. Where's the co-op mode? Yeah, that was supposed to be out early October. It's now mid-October. Well, we got a date for it, and it's late October. October 25th, actually. It's called Exterminatus, and it's going to be free. And it's, what, two maps, a survival-style mode for 4 players, so we'll see how that goes.
It's basically like The Last Stand.
Yeah, exactly.
Except in third person.
So, that's probably the next game I'm actually going to finally play through that I've had on my
shelf. You know what co-op mode came out that we need to check out?
Portal 2.
Portal 2 stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it came out an odd. It was supposed to be out a while ago, wasn't it?
It's supposed to be out in, like, I think they said late summer.
Yeah,
originally, and it didn't come out until last week.
So, yeah, that kind of slipped by us, but
it didn't slip by me. I actually fired it up and tried looking for a co-op partner and didn't find one. So I just played some of the challenge mode.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm down for playing that.
Cool.
Let's see, what do we got? A new Transformers game was announced, and it's not based on the crappy movies now, like the last one was. It's back to.
Oh, come on, because Dark of the Moon is actually, you know, kind of a cool take on saying Dark Side of the Moon. You know, you get rid of that entire extra word.
Oh, that's what they did. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that was completely stupid. Never mind.
So, yeah, it's War for Cybertron. It's getting a sequel, and it's called Fall of Cybertron, and it's got the Dinobots in it. So it's being developed by High Moon Studios again. Co-op isn't confirmed yet, but considering the last game was fully co-op through the whole campaign, chances are good.
Do you unlock the co-op mode by going, me, Grimlock?
I hope so.
Me, King.
Grimlock's... Did you see the Game Informer cover? Because Grimlock's, like, on it, and he's badass looking.
Well, because he is the most badass Transformer. I'm just saying.
Okay. Let's move on.
Before you disagree with me.
No, I don't disagree. I'm just, we got a lot to cover.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And I know this one's probably, well, Andrew posted a rant of sorts, and actually we've been getting lots of emails on this, but our Dark Souls review will be up by the time you listen to this podcast, but Andrew posted a little editorial about how things have changed in the game, so it's basically impossible to play with friends. If you play Demon's Souls, a lot of people had some pretty easy tricks to play in that game with friends in co-op.
Mm-hmm.
But Dark Souls now, they've kind of sharded the servers, and you know, you could put something down to summon people into your world. You know, you could find that one little spot, be like, you know, my sign's behind the garbage can down this alley or something, and then your friends know to go there to find it and jump into your world. But now, you know, chances are that they can't find that sign because it might be on a different server or something.
Yeah.
Long story short, Andrew posted a lengthy editorial about it with some official response from Namco Bandai on, you know, what the requirements are for getting into other people's gates and stuff like that.
And it's this arcane bullet point list of things like, you can only have a level that's within 10% of a range of, you know, someone else. So you have to take the max level and subtract their level and divide it by X, and then Y is the date, is the level range. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah. So it's a really popular editorial. There's a lot of people commenting on it. Like I said, we've been getting some angry emails. Some people are pretty upset about this. But the end result really is, unfortunately, this is the way From Software wants the game to be. They want it, as much as they, you know, they like marketing, calling it a co-op game. It, you know, it's stamped co-op on the back of the box. There's co-op in the description on the back of the box. They call it co-op when you get the summoning stone or whatever it's called in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just random co-op. Yeah, you can't play with friends, so.
That is pretty sad.
And
it was already hard enough in Demon's Souls to meet up with somebody.
Yeah. So, you know, and they did other things too, like they blocked party chat on Xbox 360, but they weren't able to block private chat. We tested that out, and Andrew was able to private chat with me and still play the game. It actually boots you out of the game if you go into a party chat, which is pretty unreal.
Yeah, well, you know, those games are not without their fair share of jankiness, intentional or not.
So, but yeah, Andrew's going to be posting a review tomorrow, and then a really, really in-depth FAQ on Tuesday. Him and Locke have done a really good job with it. We're going to have video coverage of exactly how everything works, and it's like a 2,000-word FAQ at this point for the game.
So what you're saying is he took out half of his review text and just dumped it in the FAQ?
Yeah, exactly. He left the other 2,000 for the review.
I remember when he turned in his Demon's Souls review, and I checked it, and it was like 4,500 words, and it's like, I think you might need to rewrite this. Our reviews are generally 1,500 tops.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we got some good coverage this week, coming this week for Dark Souls, despite it being slightly disappointing to people. What else? Another disappointment, Payday the Heist was delayed. Delayed to the end of October, possibly November. The game was actually part of that PSN Play promotion where you had to buy those four games and you would get this free.
Yeah.
So that kind of stinks for those people that were waiting for this, because this kind of fell right at the end of the promotion. But, you know, they got to polish the game, make it good. So, delays are delays. I'm going to hold off on the next story. And let's talk about DLC. Gears of War 3's first pack of DLC was announced. It's coming November 1st. It is called the Horde Command Pack. And it adds 3 new maps for Horde. It also adds new fortifications for Horde. I guess the maps are also playable in Versus. There's also three new characters, one of them being a female.
Is it the dreadlocked chick that hung out with the colonel?
Yep, it's Bernie.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's two new weapon skins as well. So that's going to cost you 800 points, unless you got the season pass thinger, which basically means, you know, you pre-ordered it, you get it already. And that the way that season pass thing works is you get all, there's four pieces of DLC planned, and you get all four for the price of three.
So. Can you play as Sam in Horde mode?
Yeah.
Because I don't feel that Gears 3 works without a healthy dose of Australian badass chick.
Yeah, you can unlock her. I think there's like 12 characters or 14 characters to play as already. There's a lot.
Yeah, I played as Dizzy all the time in Gears 2 when we did Horde mode because I needed some redneck.
I played as the general. I can't remember his name. The
Yeah.
I liked him, so... we already talked about this, but Ace Combat, the co-op mode, was finally confirmed. Like we said, I've been getting info on this game for months and months, and been asking. I'm like, does it have co-op? The last game had co-op, and they're like, oh, we're not talking about multiplayer. We're not talking about multiplayer. The achievement list came out. It had things on it about co-op, and I was like, so does this confirm the game has co-op? Can you tell me what it is? We're not talking about multiplayer co-op now. And then, like I said, the game's coming out Tuesday, and I think it was last Tuesday they sent over screens and info on how the co-op will work. There's also a really interesting, the multiplayer is doing a web extension kind of a thing where you pick whatever side you play as in multiplayer affects like the game world, or this website is going to have like a meta game. So as like, you know, this team wins more, they'll conquer the map kind of a thing. That was in there, but obviously we don't really cover that kind of stuff, but still pretty interesting. Shank 2 was announced, and I know you actually did a review, I think, of the
first game. I did. It was one of those games where I wanted to like it a lot more than I did.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're listening to a lot of the feedback. Specifically, you had issues with some of the controls and stuff.
It was like the attack button was the same thing as the pick up item button, and all of the items in co-op were placed like right next to each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, when crap got frantic in that game, you could basically wander over and, you know, suck down both healing items.
Yeah. So, they said that they're going to address a lot of those issues. It's going to be a bigger game in terms of the campaign. The animation stuff that they're saying is even better now. And the animation already was really slick.
It was really, really impressive.
Yeah. The co-op, though, was getting changed. The last game had a co-op story, but it was pretty short. I think it was only, like, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours, if even that?
It was, yeah, about two and a half, I'd say.
Okay. They've changed it to be a survival mode. But there's a lot of strategy to it. I was reading some preview stuff on it, and they said it plays... It's kind of round-based, like Counter-Strike was what one of the previews was talking about. So I'm not quite sure how that works, but they said it's not like your normal survival mode. But it's still... And it's. I think it's still local only. They haven't said exactly. But that's XBLA, PSN, PC, early 2012. There's a pretty interesting story, too, going around about Clay. I don't know how you say their name. Entertainment, the developers, that apparently the first game they had both the developers mortgaged their houses against it.
Oh, wow.
They did a really big gamble, and apparently it paid off, you know. And
I know it sold pretty well. Like, the game is, I think if I remember, I gave it a 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it wasn't bad. It was for a first effort. You know, it was pretty good, and you could tell that they spent an awful lot of time getting the animation to work right. I feel at the expense of everything else because it was over animated. So like you would try and chain moves together, and it would. You ever played Monster Hunter?
Very little bit of the PSP one.
So, like, in Monster Hunter, you'll, like, swing a sword and try and, like, move out of the way, and you're just locked into this really lengthy animation when you're fighting, and that was kind of how Shank worked. It's like, they wanted you to see how great the animation was, so they wouldn't let you cancel out of any of the moves.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, looking forward to that, and, I guess this time they didn't have to mortgage your houses to pay for it. So
well, hopefully not, because that would be foolish to do twice.
Indeed. Team Fortress 2 Arcade came out. It's a,
I didn't play it yet.
I have. It's pretty solid so far. I haven't got to play the co-op, but it's a free-to-download, four-player demake of Team Fortress. It's a beat-em-up kind of a thing. Contra-esque. It's like, I don't know, because there's a lot of shooting in it. And there's rocket jumps in it. The only downside so far that I found is it's keyboard only controls. You can't use a gamepad.
That's what Joy 2 Key is for, my friend.
Yeah. Someone had pointed that out to me. I have to check that out. But
yeah, because I've also been. I forgot to mention, but I'm also playing The Binding of Isaac, and it's one of those games where it's basically a twin stick shooter, but it is keyboard only. And well, you can use the mouse. The mouse operates on, you know, like, just the X and Y axis.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't feel right. So I'm having to get a Joy to Key profile set up for it.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's out. There's a link on our site to download it. Like I said, it's free. Can't beat free. Let's go back to something Sony announced. And I think we talked about it in our last podcast, but it was... This is the last one or the one before, but online passes.
Yeah.
Uncharted 3 is going to have an online pass for its multiplayer stuff. And Sony basically said that all future Sony products will be using an online pass system.
My heaving sigh.
Yeah, it's like when you really sit down and think about this, like... How many people, like, how much money are you actually making on this versus how many legitimate customers that buy it new are you having to have jump through hoops just to play their game? It's like, come on. There's got to be a better way to do this than to have to do these codes and everything else. Like, I don't know. It just, it seems so archaic.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the, you know, it's the same thing as the Project $10 that EA went through, and I'm trying to search up, you know, because we had an article on the results for it, whereas like they only made like $1.5 million on it.
Yeah, it wasn't much. It was like $15 million.
Made $15 million.
But over that's over the course of 3 years and all of their titles.
Yeah.
So you think about how many titles EA puts out. And that includes things like Medal of Honor,
Dead Space 2,
all the sports games. You know, like, I don't know. It just,
well, was the Cerberus stuff in Mass Effect 2 part of that, or
no? That really wasn't.
I thought you had to pay for that if you got it used.
Maybe you did
because you had to put in that code.
Yeah, but that would. Really, but what did that get you, really?
The free DLC that came out for that game was all released through Cerberus, so like the couple mission packs and vehicle.
I'm almost fine with that. Like having DLC included as a code that's optional, it's not part of the core game. Like to me, multiplayer is part of your core game.
Oh, you know what other game had the $10 pass that cracked me up was Saboteur.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah. The code in the box unlocked tits.
That's right. That was what. Yeah. I remember that now.
There's boobs in the game, and you can only see them if you bought it new or pay $10.
That's kind of brilliant because I can get behind that. Again. Because
people will pay $10 for boobs.
Yeah. It's not. But it's not part of the core experience. It's not part of the core of the game. You're not blocking right. people out. Like, I understand why they think they need to do it, because, okay, multiplayer, you have to pay for servers and all this other kind of stuff. There's upkeep involved. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
but there's got to be a better way. And it's everybody's doing it. I think the only one that's not doing it now is Microsoft, because you're already paying for Xbox Live. Yeah. I think they would be lynched, you know. If
they they're already practically lynched because of Xbox Live. If they make you pay more money, they are fools.
Yeah, I don't think they can do that. But yeah, I don't know. So yeah, Uncharted 3, you're going to have to be entering a code. When that article came out, there was another article over at Ars about this, and just about the state of console gaming and how console gaming is basically...
It's turning into PC gaming.
Well, it's completely flip-flopped, and it's worse than PC gaming almost ever was. PC gaming now, thanks to like Steam and some of these things, things like patches and stuff are all automatic, right? Like, you don't even have to think about them. They just happen. Driver updates, even that stuff's built into like Steam and stuff now. It lets you know if you're not running the latest drivers. And the PC's done a really good job of streamlining a lot of things. They still need to standardize something with voice chat and make that a little better, but that's made a lot of strides too.
Well, if you take like Steam basically on its own, if you consider that, like, if you pick your store or your digital distribution store of choice and look at that as a platform, so you have like Origin and you have Steam. Now, since I started using Steam, the amount of times I've had to, you know, hunt for patches or crazy solutions to a game has been reduced by, you know, almost completely. Like, every now and then you'll get like a legacy game that takes a little bit of caressing to get working, but you know they generally make sure that stuff is taken care of. Or you use something like Good Old Games, and they say these games are old, and old games very rarely work on Windows XP and Windows 7, but we've already taken care of that for you. This is all tested. And you know, the biggest complaint ever against PC gaming was that it was a crapshoot, that if your hardware was just like one version off of, you know, what is nominal, then nothing would ever work and you'd be in driver hell forever. And, you know, I keep my drivers fairly up to date. You know, NVIDIA at least has a thing that automatically downloads them.
Yeah.
Keeps them up to date. Steam keeps all the patches up to date on games I have in my library. And, you know, it's just great. And now you go back to consoles and they're like, well, so again, you go back to Steam, it's like, every game you buy is tied to your account. Like, every single game. I can't trade this game away. It's locked to me, so, you know, a lot of people have issue with that, but the amount of issues I actually have playing games is almost nothing. And, you know, with the consoles, because they're telling me that if I buy this game used, which is an option for any consumer, you know, whether I sell my copy of the game to a buddy or I get it at GameStop, is now you've split the user base between the haves and the have-nots. Like, you bought this new, so you're special and great. But you bought this used, and we're going to punish you for buying it used. It's meant to recoup costs, but all it does is punish people who don't have, you know, maybe the gaming budget, or people who like to wait until a game is, you know, $30.
Yeah, but even like you look at like people like the renters, right? And they rent a game and they're playing whatever. They can't even see if they want to buy the game. Like, a lot of people rent it, and if they like it, they keep it. Like, I know a lot of people that have GameFly that do that, because GameFly offers a pretty decent price.
Well, and the Quickster or whatever Netflix split off into is going to offer games soon.
Yeah, but so, you know, they can't even see if the multiplayer is worth playing, because it's not available to them, you know, the people that rent it. So it's, I don't know. Back to the original, what I was getting at with the original article with the Ars thing, and how everything was kind of flip-flopping. The PS3 one, it was basically focused on Resistance 3, and this is a problem I had too. It took me almost an hour to play that game from the time that I put the disc in. Between system updates, game updates, game installs, and code redemption. But there's an awesome video. It's from the Rooster Teeth folks.
Yeah.
I think it's actually the Achievement Hunter guys that put it together. And it's basically the guide with a timer going of him trying to play Resistance 3 for the first time, and it's pretty hilarious. Definitely need headphones for it if you're at work, but worth watching. So yeah, we'll see. I definitely think something needs to change in that case. I mean, it's not as bad on the 360, I think, because the installs aren't a requirement, and that's a big mm-hmm. thing. I don't know why the installs take so freaking long. I mean,
on the PS3,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess a lot of that has to do with the Blu-ray. Right? The seek speed on a Blu-ray drive is actually quite low.
Yeah. So there's that. The patch downloads, like on the 360, the game patches are like 30 seconds tops, mm-hmm. right, to download those things. But on the PS3, the Resistance 3, the first patch was like 700 meg, and it took like 30 minutes to download and install. So yeah. Come on, there's got to be a better way. So anyway, that's our rant of I think a lot of it too is we're kind of starting to get towards the end of the life cycle of both these consoles. I've been seeing a lot of the Xbox rumors kicking up about a new system.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
we're at what, year 7, year 8 here on the 360.
The 360 came out in 2005, so this is the 6th anniversary.
Okay.
End of November would be 6 years. And so if you remember, the original Xbox was out for 4 years when the 360 launched, because that was 01 to 05, and then they basically killed it dead.
Yeah. I remember, actually, when I went to the 360 preview event before it was launched, and I had to sign a contract to get a review unit that basically said Microsoft owned it, and that there was dates on it, and I can remember that they end-dated it for 7 years. That they technically owned that console.
It's crazy.
That they sent me. Well,
it wouldn't have mattered because that thing would have died after 18 months anyway.
Yeah, and it did. Yeah, that one is long gone. But anyway, let's move on and actually wrap up a couple quick news bits we didn't touch on. Ghost Recon Future Soldier was dated. It's getting a March release date. That was a game played at E3 and I was pretty impressed with. So we'll see. See how that goes. I think it's got 4-player co-op. I think it's a separate campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, your consoles and PC. What else was dated? Syndicate reboot, which was, it's dated for my birthday, February 21st. So, we'll see.
Happy birthday. Hope it doesn't suck.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny because it's one of the games I've really, really wanted. Someone put out a video. It was actually Ghost Recon done in the style of the old Syndicate, but with like fancier graphics, and it's really, really sexy. And I was like, man, why didn't they do this? Come on. But the previews for Syndicate so far, there were some hands-on previews, have been real solid. And I will get to play it this Wednesday, actually. There's a bunch of New York Comic Con stuff going on, which is next weekend.
All right.
But Wednesday, EA, Sega, and somebody else are having preview events, so I'm heading into the city for those.
So a quick aside, what's the best game that's ever released on your birthday that you've played?
Best game that was ever released on my birthday that I played? Ooh. I don't even know. I can remember there was another one I was really looking forward to. And I think I might have even... I'm not one of those people that, like, take their birthdays off. Like, I know people that, like, always take, like, their birthday off of work or whatever, and... But I think I did for this game, but I don't remember what it was. It was real early in the 360 life cycle.
Was it Shadowrun?
No.
So I know how much you played that.
Shadowrun was a surprise for me, actually. And the reason I played so much of that was because of my friends that played it. Like, we had a really solid group of guys that always played that game. I don't know.
I can tell you mine. The Zelda Wind Waker came out on my 21st birthday.
Ah, interesting.
So I was... Well, technically it came out the next day, but there was a midnight release. So as I was stumbling drunk from the strip clubs and the bars that night, I walked into a GameStop, unable to even keep my eyes straight, and picked up my pre-order. And probably played it till 3 a.m. And then the next day I had to start over because I didn't remember any of it.
It's like, I can drink, I can look at boobies, now give me this cartoony Zelda game.
Give me this little game where you control some kids with swords, and it's cute, damn it.
Alright, what else we got here? Quick, we talked about Portal 2 DLC. That's out now. It's free on all your platforms, so download that. And Serious Sam 3 got a delay. Got pushed back a month right before Thanksgiving. So
that's sad, because I'm pretty sure it's already in the hands of some reviewers.
Yeah, I actually have it. It constantly updates. They gave us a preview build like a while ago on Steam, and that thing like does full updates like every other day. So I'm getting like 6 gigabytes of download a week of that thing.
Wow.
I think the full game's like 2.5 or 3 gig, but yeah, I'd say it updates itself 2 or 3 times a week.
It updates itself a little too often.
But yeah, I should go back in. I know I checked it out like a month afterwards, and they added a bunch more content, but I haven't been in recently.
You know what else updated itself recently?
Witcher 2.
Oh, yes. Well, Witcher 2, yes. But the Diablo 3 beta.
Did it?
Yeah, it was just a patch. It's not any new content. But last time I booted it up, it had a patch. I was like, yay! No.
Yeah, I played through with 3 characters. I did the Witch Doctor, the Barbarian, and the Monk. So I still want to go. I want to do the Wizard next.
I really like the Barbarian.
The Barbarian was a lot of fun. I love how strong they made him feel with the knockbacks of the enemies and stuff like that.
Just like throwing dudes across the screen is pretty great.
Yeah, that was more fun than I thought. All right, so that's the news. Let's go into user blogs. We had a great user blog from user Crazy Howie, and he talked about his addiction to co-op. And it's well written, it's organized, it is a model form user blog. So hands off to him, or tipping my hat to him, or whatever you want to talk about there. But he goes about what games from early on in his life got him hooked on co-op, and then some of his favorite ones recently and stuff like that. It's a pretty good read.
It really is. And, hopefully eventually we'll have the ability to push stuff like that onto the front page.
Yeah, it's kind of technically there now. I just am afraid to do it still. But there's actually, we've been getting a lot of good ones recently. Get about a dozen or so a week now, which is pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, it really is.
Let's see what else. Move on to site stuff. Stickers. I keep meaning to put these up on the site for sale, but I've been tied up with some other stuff. They will be there soon. You can buy stickers. I don't know what it will price them. Probably sell them in like 5 packs again for $2 or something. And
they're pretty. I have some.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with these, and yeah, I always throw, if you ever win contests or anything on the site, I always throw some stickers in with the prize packing, so it's a good way to get them.
And if you ever run into us at things like PAX, we have them.
Yeah, I'll bring some to Comic-Con this weekend in New York, so if you see me there, I'll be toting around Jamie and Izzy this time, so that should be pretty fun.
Well, now that I work in, like, downtown Portland, where you can put stickers on anything and no one cares, I might, get some signposts, up with the Co-Optimist stickers.
There we go. I like it. Let's talk about releases. There is a lot. On the 11th, we have Ace Combat, which we talked about, 360 and the PS3. Dead Rising 2, Off the Record, 360, PS3, and PC. Once Upon a Monster on 360, and Sideways New York PSN. On the 12th, we have the Guardian Heroes HD Remake on XBLA. On the 14th, we have Renegade Ops on the PC. Actually, on the 13th, too, side note, is our co-op night with Renegade Ops on XBLA. So
it's one of those games I didn't pick up, but I feel like I should have.
It's pretty solid. I don't know if you even... Did you play the demo, or...?
No, I hadn't, but I really like out. Just Cause.
Yeah, it's solid, so... what else? On the 16th, which is a Sunday, But Skylanders, Spyro's Adventures is coming out, and Activision is doing a pretty big launch for this because it's kind of the toy line slash video game hybrid thing going on.
Right.
You got 360, PS3, PC, Wii, 3DS, and PC for that. I was putting together the list today for my weekly release stuff and saw Amazon has all of the toys listed out. I think they're $9.99 for a two pack of them. And there's, I think they had about 10 different two packs, and then there was a couple three packs they had, so you can get those. I'm curious about that one. I really liked what I played. It was a fun little game, and the toy technology is kind of cool. I always ask Jamie, my wife, who teaches first grade, about some of the more kid oriented stuff, and like, do the kids ever talk about this? Like, I'm just curious, like, if it trickles down to there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll see if they play it and talk about it. What else we got? On the 18th, we have Beat Hazard is hitting the PlayStation Network, and Ratchet & Clank All for One is also hitting PS3. And on the 19th, we finally get Dungeon Defenders on the consoles and PC.
Wow, I saw the PC roll up on Steam, but I didn't realize that hadn't come out on XBLA yet.
No, it's just been the portable versions.
If you asked me, is borderline unplayable. I could not play it on my iPhone.
Yeah, the iPad version is the only playable one. And even then, you got to deal with the stupid little virtual analog stick crap. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because I do like the game, the style of game. You know, it's a bit like the Orcs Must Die thing that we were talking about earlier, but more RPG-ish.
Yeah.
That game was supposed to be out last fall on the consoles, so I don't know what took so long, if it's marketing or something else, but we're finally getting it. Reviews. Surprisingly, there's only been one review in the past 2 weeks, and that was Rage. we had a week where we had like 6 reviews or something, and then we had nothing for 2 weeks, but we got a couple coming up this week. We'll have Ace Combat, Dark Souls, we have White Knight Chronicles, F1 2011, Dance Central 2. We have a lot of pending reviews coming up, so
yeah,
there's a lot of content.
It's fall.
Yeah. So yeah, Rage. I was pretty disappointed with it. I mean, it was okay. It didn't live up to my expectations or hopes or whatever you want to call it. Features. What do we have? We had co-op classics. It was Nintendo 64's 15th birthday, so Mark did a nice write-up of some of the co-op games of the N64.
There weren't that many, which made me sad.
Yeah, it was, you know, we tried to do some research whenever those come up to see, and Mark's like, you know, we're really missing in this, and I was like, well, maybe there just wasn't a lot, and I think there really is only like 6, 8, like,
that system was all about versus multiplayer.
Yeah, it, you know, GoldenEye basically set that. And then
GoldenEye, Mario Kart, and yeah. Perfect Dark.
Yeah. Well, Perfect Dark had co-op, right? I know the XBLA re-release did.
I'm pretty sure it did. Yeah. But maybe we should read the article.
Yeah. I did. Well, he didn't mention Perfect Dark in the article, so maybe it didn't.
It did on the 360.
Yeah. Anyway, we also had a co-op couples, which was about the aforementioned Renegade Ops, and Jim coined a new term for games called Widowmakers, and it's pretty interesting. And I actually saw
World of Warcraft is high on that list for my wife.
I saw that one of the devs actually tweeted about it. They were pretty impressed with his article, and they liked the term and stuff. We had an Indiana co-op for Tobes Adventures and Pixelated. I should write the whole name down. But that Tobes Adventures one, I think that was Mark actually covered it for Jason. It was a PC version of the game. It was in Mark's hands for like months. And Jason was getting mad that he didn't cover it. He was supposed to. It just kept slipping. But
it's fine. Slipping and slipping.
Yeah. So I emailed them because they had sent us a code for it. And I was like, I know you sent this to us in like August, but here's the coverage. Thank you. Namco Bandai had an event in New York City last week, and Tally hit that up. And saw Inversion and what was the game? Graces.
Tales of Graces.
Thank you.
That game isn't out yet.
No, it's not. Well, it was out on the Wii, I think. And the PS3 version is supposed to add like a ton.
Man, I try and get into those Tales games and I just can't do it.
Yeah, I
haven't liked it since Tales of Destiny.
Let me,
and that's a long ass time ago.
We had MMO opportunities. Tally talked about her want of Old Republic, and actually she's in the beta now, so curse her. Despite them teasing everybody in the world that we were all in the beta.
Yeah, jerks. It's okay, I got Diablo 3.
Yeah, and then she covered a little bit of City of Heroes. She's been playing some of that. Diablo 3, we had character focuses on all the classes, so you can check those out. We talked a bit about the co-op aspect of that.
And I got taken to task for complaining about something that I feel was a rightful complaint.
It's the internet. And Sam went to the Eurogamer Expo, and he had write-ups of Rayman Origins, Ratchet & Clank, All for One, Inversion, Saints Row, Starhawk, Rage, Binary Domain, and Lord of the Rings, War in the North. So some lots of hands-on coverage there. Those titles. We started...
Lord of the Rings is out, what, next month?
In November, yeah. It's like the 1st, I think, in November. So... So we started posting FAQs to the site for co-op games. In a way, it's kind of redundant of what we already do, but in another way, people still seem to miss stuff, so one more area to have stuff spelled out as clearly as possible for them is a good thing. So we started that with Gears of War 3. What did we do before Gears of War 3? We had another one.
Was there Resistance?
No, there was... I know we did one first, but yeah, we did Gears of War 3, Rage, and Dark Souls. So there's those FAQs up, and I think we have about 5 more planned for the fall, rest of fall, for folks. And what we're trying to do is get a lot more video content as well, and so we'll have some video supplement in there, so you can kind of see what we're talking about as well, how to do certain things. So I'm pretty happy with that. See how it goes. It definitely takes a bit longer, but you know, if anybody has any questions that pop up from the review, it seems like a good way to answer them. I guess that's about it. We have a Windows Phone 7 app. We have an Android app. You can download either of those at their respective stores. We'll have an iPhone app soon. Hopefully, hoping next month. Guy's doing it on his spare time for us, so awesome. We got some shirts. I think we might actually be out of one size of the Revolution shirt now. I'd have to check. Yeah, our latest sales report came through, and I think we sold like 3 of the 1. So,
at least people are buying them.
Yeah. So you can leave us feedback on iTunes or Zune or anywhere else you're listening to us. And you can follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimists without the dash. Voicemail, we've got that too. 646-926-6748. Call us, leave a voicemail. Ask us questions. Tell us how awesome we are. I don't know. Tell us your life story. Whatever. We're open.
You can talk to us about anything. I can be Dr. Drew, and Nick can be Adam Carolla. We should flip that around.
Okay, so that's it. Wow, look at that. Almost an hour on the dot for time.
Bang.
And that was a meaty episode. We didn't really have like a quote-unquote feature.
And, us aimlessly ranting about Project $10 and such things was kind of a feature.
Yeah, that's true.
And of course, the fact that you and I are having a chance to talk is a feature.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't get to talk much anymore.
No. This East Coast West Coast rivalry must end. Lay down our arms and embrace each other.
All right. So this is Co-op the Cast, episode 75 for October the 9th, 2011. I'm Nick. That's Mike. Thanks for listening.